And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on a whole lot of ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I won't go into all of it, but the bottom line is a ton of y'all out there and all over Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi. Ton of y'all on the live stream every single day in all kinds of places in the world. And, oh, by the way, a ton of y'all in the podcast realm catching this show. I say all that to say we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you very much for being a part of our lives. The fact that you catch the show wherever you catch it, however you catch it, is exactly what motivates us to get behind the microphone every day. So thank y'all very much. All right. We're going to do this thing that we normally do on Fridays. We're going to do it today. So for those of y'all that don't know, JP is not just good at pushing buttons on the board. He's not just good at providing the commentary with me here on the show. He's also a guru of sports. So he does a thing every single week called JP on Sports with two rounds. The first one's called The Three and Out. He gives us the top three stories he believes are out there in sports world. The second round is called The 2-Minute Warning. Timer and a buzzer. He does 2 minutes on each story. And the man has the best sound effect in all of Right Side World, courtesy of the girls at Auburn. Hit it.
JP on Sports!
Whoop, whoop. All right, man.
You know, I would say that's the last time hitting the sound effect, but that's staying, okay? The sound effect is staying.
Absolutely. You got to have it. Yeah, because JP on Sports is hanging around, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, listen, we're going to go JP on Sports, 3 and Out, number one. What you got, dude?
We got some good college football games this week, of course. Ranked games with Vandy and Texas. We got the rivalry of Florida and Georgia. Tennessee and Oklahoma, ranked matchup there. And then Auburn and Kentucky. Auburn coming off of a win, finally, back to 500.
You didn't have to add the five.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. But this is yet another game they can win. So we'll see if they can break through 500, maybe get some momentum going here. When was the last time, besides the last 2 years, you would think that like Vandy and Texas would be a game that Vandy should easily win? I think Vandy is the comfortable favorite in that one because Texas, you know, has lost to Florida earlier this year, and they almost lost at Mississippi State this past week. They had to win in overtime. So Vandy is not like you see that. I feel like Vandy is going to comfortably win that game. And Florida, Georgia, it's a fun rivalry, but Florida's got an interim coach, so I don't think they have much chance there. And you know, Tennessee, I think Tennessee probably beats Oklahoma, and I'm gonna predict Auburn beats Kentucky this week.
Ooh,
get some momentum going.
I like it. Then again, you've been accusing John of trying to jinx things by saying that kind of stuff.
Listen, I thought Auburn was gonna beat Georgia. I picked Auburn to beat Arkansas, and I'm 1-for-1 so far in the last couple of weeks. So we'll see if I'm 2-1 or 1-2.
Okay, so NCAA football is number one. The rundown of the games and the idea that Auburn could wind up having a better than 50-50 season by the time the weekend's over.
Well, there's still some season left.
Okay, so the best we could do right now would be, what, 8-4?
Yeah, I think that's the best. You'd have to win out.
Okay, all right. That would mean we have to beat Alabama.
That would.
Number two, what's next?
The Blue Jays. Man, they're about to do it. The Blue Jays are one game away from beating the Dodgers, and hallelujah if they do. Please, please, I'm begging. I can't do a Dodgers.
You know
back-to-back.
You like Shohei Ohtani, though.
Oh, I like Shohei, but the Dodgers, no. And I can't see Freddie win another ring not on the Braves. So I'm hoping the Blue Jays can pull this one out. It'll be their first time winning a World Series since going back-to-back in 95 and 96, I believe. It's either 94 and 95 or 95 and 96. So they had a 18-inning game, what was that, 2 or 3 nights ago where they ended up losing. But then they won the next game, and then they won the next game. So they won back-to-back games after that 18-inning game that they lost. So, like I said, one game away from getting the ring. And I think all of baseball except the city of Los Angeles is rooting for the Blue Jays to do this one. Although it's Canada.
I was going to say.
Okay, I understand, but it's the Dodgers. Okay, my disdain for the Dodgers maybe slightly outweighs my my MLB nationalism here. So, yeah, well, one game away. We'll see if they can pull it off.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say go Dodgers, man. I'm there. I mean, I'm not sitting around like losing any sleep over it, but I am absolutely for that over a Canadian team.
I understand. If it was any other team besides the Dodgers, I'd be
a Canadian team which is staffed with Americans, and we all know it.
Exactly. But, yeah. So it's an American team stationed in Canada.
They're playing an American sport.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's two. What's three?
Well, what's the Ryan Clark counter? How many times I've talked about Ryan Clark on JP on Sports because he's stepped in it completely. But he's stepping in it yet again. And I actually have a quick little clip we can play here. But so Charlie Kirk, obviously, rest in peace. He was brought up by Ryan Clark on First Take either this morning or yesterday morning for no reason at all. They wasn't even the topic of the show at the time. They were actually talking about the Louisiana governor weighing in on LSU sports a bit too much, maybe. So I'll tell you that little aside first before I play the Ryan Clark clip. But apparently the Louisiana governor he put out a tweet before Brian Kelly got fired. And said something about how, you know, he was bashing LSU for raising ticket prices while we're having such a bad season, and you know, kind of subtly talked about how the coaching situation maybe wasn't correct, and then LSU fired Brian Kelly, I think, just a couple of days after the fact. Then he went on a press conference, and it seemed like he was like an LSU board director or something, because he was talking about how he brought the ticket prices again being risen while they're having a rough season, and he also said that the AD may be on the outs. So the Louisiana governor apparently is making decisions at LSU and calling the shots.
Well, you know, he's an ad hoc member of the board.
I've never seen anything like that, to be honest with you. I've never seen. Can you imagine if Kay Ivey walked up to the stand and talked about, you know, firing Hugh Freeze or something? Like I just can't. I can't imagine anything like that. But I digress. That was the topic of the discussion at the time on First Take. But also, this past week, the Louisiana governor advocated for LSU to build a Charlie Kirk statue on LSU's campus.
All right.
Which seems a bit fitting from the obviously. Charlie Kirk made his career going to college campuses and talking to students.
Right.
LSU is a very conservative school in a conservative state. But yet Ryan Clark, when not even talking about Charlie Kirk, decided to do a drive-by and go too hard, try too hard and talk about how he hates Charlie Kirk and doesn't think that his message resonates and represents LSU. So I'll play that quick.
All right, go ahead.
First off, it's the second most ridiculous thing he said this week. The first was standing on campus and saying he wanted to put a statue up of somebody that doesn't represent the people of Louisiana, doesn't represent the players and the students at LSU, doesn't represent the executives that work there. That was the first dumb thing he said this week. This is the
So that was the drive-by.
Wow.
Talking about Charlie Kirk. But I have to say, somebody pointed this out, Stephen A. Smith does not look too enthused.
No, I saw that. Stephen A. Yeah. Smith, y'all who aren't watching the live stream, Stephen A. Smith is giving him a look like, you are stepping in it hard,
this
and I'm getting out of the way.
I'm the politics guy here. He's going into my lane. But, like, that is Ryan Clark in a nutshell. He virtue signals every chance he can get when it's not even the topic of the show at the time. That was a drive-by in terms of, like, I'm going to virtue signal. We're not even talking about it, and, you know, talking about a guy who's dead now.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to go past as if I didn't say anything. Ryan Clark has already had to apologize 3 times publicly for stuff he's done at ESPN lately. He had to apologize for openly chastising someone else on the panel because he disagreed with them and said, well, you haven't played football, so you don't understand. You know, let the players actually talk about this.
Wow.
He had to apologize again for claiming Louisiana police was racist. Because remember, I talked about a couple weeks ago, Kyron Lacy, who tragically passed away. And there was footage that came out that made it look like Kyron Lacy was innocent, but then Louisiana police brought up footage that actually showed he wasn't innocent in the first place. Ryan Clark went up and claimed Louisiana police was racist for that before knowing any of knowledge. So that was two, and there was one more that's actually escaping my mind at the moment. There's too many to count, okay? Ryan Clark doing stuff like this, I wouldn't be surprised if he has to go on there and apologize again for talking about Charlie Kirk.
So
posthumously like that.
This is an example of, you want to look at him and go, know your role.
Mm-hmm.
Like know your role. Stay in your lane, dude.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't needed. That wasn't needed. If Ryan Clark wants to go on his own podcast and say something about Charlie Kirk, I would obviously still disagree with him. But he went on First Take and decided to bring it in when it wasn't even the topic of discussion. And everybody's like, okay, well, you know, what was that for, you know? So, and he's speaking on that. How Charlie Kirk doesn't represent the values of LSU or the students or the players. It's like, well, I don't know. I bet if you do a poll of LSU students, I'd say that's majority conservative.
Yeah.
Probably by a good bit. Louisiana's a deep red state, and Ryan Clark is an LSU alum, so although he may not like Charlie Kirk, I don't think he can speak. You know, he said Charlie Kirk doesn't represent all of LSU students. I don't think Ryan Clark represents all of LSU students.
No, I would say that's probably true. All right, man. That's look. At what point is he going to... So are we waiting for the apology? Do you think it's going to happen?
I wouldn't be surprised if it does. But like I said, how many apologies does it take before ESPN starts to punish the guy? Like,
I don't know.
Because he's had so many where he's had to apologize after the fact. And he clearly hasn't learned his lesson.
Oh, all right. That's it. That's three and out. That's round one of JP on Sports. We're taking the break. We'll come right back. Round two, JP on Sports, is the two-minute warning. We've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got 2 minutes per story. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're back for round two of JP on Sports. This is called the two-minute warning. We actually have 2 minutes per story. I have a timer and a buzzer. So, JP, I'm getting my clock ready as we speak. There it is. Go.
So I briefly mentioned it in passing while talking about Ryan Clark earlier, but I think this has served as a segment of its own here. So Brian Kelly, LSU head coach, was fired this past week. And there's been massive eyeballs on the Louisiana governor because it looks like he's stepping over his bounds a little bit too much here. Because I didn't mention this while talking about it earlier, but he did a press conference and was asked about if the current LSU AD would be allowed to make the coaching decision. And the Louisiana governor said, absolutely not. The LSU AD is not making the choice for the coaching change. I'll let President Trump make the decision of the coaching change before I let the current LSU AD make the coaching change. So, what are the odds President Trump is actually allowed to make the LSU coaching change? But also, I think it does bring up a conversation of, is this ethical? Should this be allowed? Should a governor of a state openly be influencing a school in his state and their coaching decisions and their athletic program? And could this be stuff, is this sort of a more to come? Are we going to see more governors in this new era of college sports? And how much, I mean, college football in Louisiana in particular is a lot more than just like an LSU football program. It benefits the whole state, the revenue of the state, the amount of people and students that come to the state when LSU football is good. So will there be more instances of governors speaking out on coaching decisions and stuff related to athletics moving forward? Do you think that's going to happen at all?
I don't know, but I do know that.
And do you think this is unethical?
Unethical? I don't know about unethical, unless he's got some gain out of it. But I do believe that he is actually considered to be the de facto chairman of every board of trustees for a state-funded university, like Kay Ivey is.
Yeah.
Kay Ivey actually is. So I don't know, man. Is he an LSU grad?
I don't know.
I bet he's also an alum.
He may be, but he speaks very Cajun. So
time. Buzzer. There you go. All right. That's interesting. All right. So, governor's weighing in on... Now, if Kay Ivey calls for Nick Saban to come back. All right, 2 minutes, go.
So, Around the Horn, which is a former ESPN show, it was an ESPN show for a long time, it started to plummet in ratings because of it. So Around the Horn was a show where there was this one guy at like ESPN headquarters, and then there was five people they brought in remote, and nobody really knew how the scoring system worked, but pretty much they would talk about each topic, and they would go down the line, and when each person talked about a topic, they would get points from the guy who's sitting at headquarters. I guess he would give them points if he liked what they were saying. He would take away points if he didn't like what they were saying. And at the end of the show, there'd be a winner of who, you know, I guess, pleased the host the most. Well, it turned into a virtue signal hub. Shocker. Shocker ESPN allowed this to happen because they would bring in, you know, people like Jemele Hill and, you know, not Ryan Clark himself, but people like Ryan Clark. And it just became into a political woke show, and they canceled it because the ratings were awful. Well, Sarah Spain, who was on the show many times, a liberal herself, said, "This is progressive voices and people of color that you're taking off of TV," talking about ESPN's decision to cancel Around the Horn. And no, actually, I think the problem was the show stunk, and it's not a political channel. People go there to hear about sports, and not from people like Jemele Hill, who think everything in sports is about people of color being overlooked and using a chance to virtue signal. It's comical because there's so many good people at ESPN who don't do this. But yeah, I feel like the Ryan Clarks of the world, the Jemele Hill, the Sarah Spains, now that they're getting a little bit of taste of their own medicine, people don't want to listen to that crap anymore. Of course, they're playing the victim, and it's progressive voices and people of color being taken off of TV. That's the story.
Wow.
So I never liked Around the Horn. I don't know if any of our listeners know the show I'm talking about, and if they liked it, I always thought it was crap.
Is it still out there anywhere? Like, is it on like some kind of streaming or podcast version?
There's probably archives out there somewhere. Okay.
Oh, there it is. Top buzzer. Okay. And stop the clock, reset the clock, and 2 minutes go.
AOC and Riley Gaines had a beef on
Is
Twitter.
This sports? Oh, Riley Gaines. Okay.
AOC and Riley Gaines had a beef on Twitter this past week where Riley Gaines challenged AOC to a debate about any topic the congresswoman would want to debate her on. Could be capitalism versus socialism, could be transgender, could be abortion, could be anything. And AOC then retweeted it and mocked her and said that, this Riley Gaines needs to focus on getting a real job instead of doing this. And then she said, if Riley Gaines focused this much attention on being a good swimmer, maybe she wouldn't have come in fifth.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, wow.
Actually, I think if Riley Gaines wasn't racing against a biological dude, Riley Gaines wouldn't have came in fifth. And, but what's really troubling is like how much that blew up on Twitter of people bashing Riley and siding with AOC. But it's what like the state of politics we're in right now, where a woman has to go up against a dude, comes in fifth, and then becomes popular because of her speaking out on that issue, and then also speaking out on issues like abortion, on culture issues, and yet AOC, who is shutting the government down actively, is saying Riley Gaines needs to get an actual job, and if she focused this much attention on swimming, she wouldn't have come in fifth. How about if AOC stopped paying so much attention on trying to win a culture war with Riley Gaines and reopen the government? I don't know. Maybe that's a bit more important here than, we wouldn't have a government shutdown and people wouldn't be losing their SNAP benefits.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's like to hear that from a congresswoman is really deflating and disappointing, but also I guess that's just the state of Democrat politics right now, and that is the future leader of the Democratic Party, it seems. AOC
it does
is
seem
for sure
way.
One of them.
I poo-pooed the idea for the longest time, but it does seem that she's being given more and more of a platform.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
There we are. Hit the buzzer. Yep. All right. Resetting the clock. Do you have time? Do you have time for one?
We got about 30 seconds, but somebody actually texted in on the LC coach issue here. I may want to read out. Stephen from Huntsville said that, "I believe that the governor is currently the acting head of the university. So there's a little bit of nuance involved that he may be in a position to make the call." Is that true?
The acting head of the university.
Is that true?
I think he means acting head of the University Board of Trustees.
Perhaps.
Because that is a thing. And that's very common.
Is it really? Governor's
like that's what Kay Ivey is right now. She is a de facto head of the Board of Trustees for the state funded university, if I'm not mistaken. I know she's also the head of the school board or the state school board too for K-12.
So if that is the case, there may be a little bit more nuance, like you said. But that is becoming a hot topic in the college football world right now, as if governors like this will be overstepping their bounds by openly, influencing coaching decisions and overruling the AD for that matter. So
wow.
We'll see.
That's a crazy story. I feel like we talked as much about what people talk about in sports world as we did about sports this time.
We did.
All right. That's JP on sports. Coming up next, you know the deal. Butters and Lee, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.